This is the Friday, January 5th, 2018 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Grain and oilseed contracts struggle to break free from the grasp of market bears. Large world inventories and lagging export numbers only added to the problem. For the week, March wheat gained 4 pennies while the nearby corn contract was flat. A rumor USDA might reduce bean yields in next week's report, and La Nina weather patterns in South America pushed the soy complex higher as the March contract gained 9 cents. March meal rose 5.10 per ton. March cotton shed 62 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, February Class 3 milk futures soured 33 cents. Cattle peaked early in the holiday-shortened trading week. The February live cattle contract finished 230 lower, dropping limit down in the final session. Nearby feeders shed 402, and the February lean hog contract lost 35 cents. The U.S. dollar index slowed its tailspin, falling only 16 points. Crude oil continued its flight above $60 as the February contract flew $1.02 per barrel higher. COMEX gold poured on $13 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs commodity index ticked almost 2 points higher to close at 443.70. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Dan Huber. And in case you want to go over things again, you can download or listen to our Market Analysis and Market Plus podcasts online anytime at iptv.org/MTOM. Dan Huber, welcome back.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
This new year starts the same in wheat. We were talking about a winter kill. It was cold, but it's maybe now not so much the cold snap as it is the dry snap. Which one's winning out here in the market?
Well, you know, and I think you have to expand that view just a little bit, because there are some concerns about what's going on in Ukraine, Russia at this point. Not a lot of snow cover there, some cold temperatures diving in. I would say it's a combination of both. I mean, it's with a very, very slack amount of moisture we've had, that did not get as good a growth as you would have liked to have seen in the winter wheat. And now with these excessively cold temperatures, granted, it's hard to think of a year where we don't try to kill the wheat crop two or three times during the winter. This year, we seem to have a few more elements in place. And, of course, when you're looking at the lowest acreage in 100 years, you know, we don't have a lot of room to give up. But same token, I mean, the market's very complacent still about, you know, we've got big world inventories. Yeah, you know, we don't need to really worry about that all that bad. So, but again, I mean, there's the old adage is you never want to sell a quiet market. And I think we've kind of, we've taken ourselves into complacency thinking nothing can go wrong as well.
So. Well, we have major differences between Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis exchanges. Why?
Again, protein quality from last year. You know, the hard wheat is, of course, has been a premium product to begin with. Never doesn't really have the supply issues, but you know that hard winter wheat is really the one that has the biggest concern there about the acreage as well as the growing conditions over the winter months here.
All right, let's talk about a strike. Where do we need to make a sale?
I guess I'm pretty complacent on everything at this point. Maybe that's a bad word to use, just saying that we've become too complacent about how the biggest supplies we have. But, you know, this is the time of the year we tend to find seasonal lows, work ourselves up into the spring as we start to think about what the risks are going to be of the growing season ahead. So, I think right now the name of the game is just kind of be patient, let the market come to us at this point.
Maybe if we can get 450 on that May contract, maybe a little higher. If we get to 450, time to...
Oh, yes. I mean, 450, 475 out into the July, then certainly you got to take on some protection. I mean, all of these markets are still bound within ranges, so you pick out the higher side of the range and you sell into it, certainly.
All right. Huber Report on Twitter is where you find Dan, and we also found a question for Dan on Twitter this week, and it came from Duncan in Williamstown, Ontario, Canada. So Phil's got competition now in Canada, but Duncan wants to know, where does one buy a defibrillator for the corn market? Hashtag flatline.
You know, the reality is we have the defibrillators there and ready to go. It's just nobody has plugged them in yet. You know, we have to find that surge that's going to actually get the juice back into the corn market. You know, unfortunately, at this point in time, it's going to have to be a weather problem. You know, the demand is solid. You know, it's not that we're... not that we are setting any big records. We know export sales were pretty lousy for last week. That was Christmas week. But that said, boy, until we have a supply issue or we're threatening a crop, either South America or North America, boy, we're going to remain in this kind of steady sideways type of pattern we've already experienced.
Possibility that corn maybe goes up because oil is going up?
You know, that doesn't seem to carry quite the correlation it used to. I mean, it should in the respect that, you know, we continue to put out very solid numbers. I mean, maybe the most recent numbers on ethanol production were a little bit of a slack. But overall, I mean, that has been the continued bright spot in the corn market, you know, pushing 6 billion bushels a year on usage for ethanol production. But, you know, those are kind of known factors. We know that that's going to be stable. We know that's going to continue to provide that solid demand base. We need something new and fresh that could excite the buyer once again, or at least scare the bear.
Well, you're looking at stocks at 31-week lows on ethanol, but and the lowest production, though, in 11 weeks. So quickly, before I let you go, time to make a sale in corn?
I don't believe so.
No,
I don't
hold.
Believe so. Yeah, I would hang on to the corn at this point in time. Yeah.
All right, let's talk soy. Any possibility this is a short-term rally, or is there longer legs to this?
You know, right at this point in time, I'm going to tend to stay with the short-term camp. You know, it's nice to see the bounce, but unless we can truly, truly develop a situation with problems in Argentina, most specifically, you know, $10 is going to be a pretty tough lid to make beans get above at this point in time.
But if we would push up, how close to pushing up to 10 would you be looking to make a sale?
Oh, I mean, as far as how aggressive would I become?
Yeah.
Well, I think I would, you know, particularly in old crop beans, I think I would be all over it. I
You'd mean, be moving.
$10 beans. It's back. You look at what China did here a few weeks ago with their grading changes. You know,
yeah.
Those are generally things they do when they want to start trimming back on the volume coming into the country. So, you know, those kind of signs are going to be kind of hang over this market here for a little bit.
Well, there was a report that maybe there was a surge in world palm oil sales. Mm-hmm. And does that give reason for a little cover for selling?
Well, and palm oil has rebounded here in the last week, 10 days, which has helped lift the bean oil up as well. You know, that said, it's very difficult to sustain a bean market on oil alone. You know, you really need to see it happen in the meal. And now, and granted, the meal was probably the most impressive performer of the week when it came to the complex.
But 5-10 on the week next week.
Exactly. And up over resistance, it's really held us for some time. So, but are we going to get carried away with the upside? And again, I think it all hinges on if we don't have a serious ongoing problem in Argentina, it's going to be tough to sustain these moves for extended periods.
I think I've asked you before, but how much stock do you put in weather reports for Brazil and Argentina right now?
Well, you know, theoretically, they have just as much weather information, or I should say the NASA or NOAA has as much information down there as they do domestically. So are we getting the ground reports necessarily like we do in this country? You know, that may be lacking a little bit, but we have so much good information coming out of satellite technology. You know, so much of this has been based off of what's going on with La Nina that I think we have good information coming out of there.
You can sit in Illinois and watch the weather in Brazil if you want.
Yes,
yeah,
you can.
So it's not as warm, though, in your office.
Well, true.
All right, let's talk about cotton. That's a market that there's some interest in this thing continually moving up. Are we still going up?
You know, it really, the move in the cotton really began a month ago. And, you know, even then, it's probably, if you just go to the technical side, we've been overbought for the past month, but we just keep stretching in the higher highs each time. Critical this week that we were able to get up over the 79.30, 79.50 range. You know, that said, I think we're probably to the point where we're squeezing the final bears out of this market. Once we get above 80 cents here, I think it's going to be a little bit difficult to keep sustaining the market. Particularly now, I think you're going to start hearing talk, well, this is going to be a good market to start diverting acreage into if we're going to lose a few soybeans and however we make that mix into the spring. But, you know, at this point, you've actually given the incentive to start increasing that cotton acreage again, which ought to kind of put a cap on this.
So if you are on the fence with a little extra in your pocket or a little extra in the shed, is it time to sell some cotton?
Oh, I think I would.
Yeah.
I think when you're north of 80 cents or at that 80 cent level, that has really been a tough, tough level of resistance for years.
Okay.
So it's certainly.
Yeah. All right. Livestock-wise, cattle came out of the chute real good on the second, third, sustained it. Fourth, and today, limit down. What's going on?
Yeah, let's look at the longer picture first. I mean, I think the cattle market looks pretty good as long as the economy continues to expand, continues to grow. We should see better consumption of beef out there. And I think that's really what moved us off the lows here a month ago. You know, that said, there's no shortage of inventory. I mean, we've got plenty of cattle coming to market here over the next 30 days, and I think that reality kind of caught up with us here at the end of the week.
So. Is this a race to the bottom?
Oh, I guess I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I think we could go through a small sort of corrective wave here, but no, I think the longer-term picture has turned a little positive here in the cattle market. So
don't panic yet.
Don't panic. In fact, with some, I think some speculators, we're probably going to be looking at buying some corrections and look a little more towards spring, summer before we even get too aggressive on sales.
In the feeder market, we talked a little bit about the weather. There's still some feeders out in the field in some of that wheat country. It was cold this week. That's hard to put weight on. Is that what's helping this market?
You know, I think that certainly helps it. You also don't have a lot of alternatives for usage. I mean, as far as the low corn prices, stagnating corn prices are always a little bit supportive in the feeder market. And again, you look into the summer months, I think you can still put cattle on feed and make some money at it. So, certainly a supportive factor for that feeder trade.
It looked like there was one analysis that said the bears were on expansion. Do you find that to be true?
Bears on expansion?
They were bearish on expanding that herd.
Oh, I mean, it's, sorry. Okay. Yes.
We're not feeding bears in the lot. That would be
there
interesting.
There we go.
Just not what we want to do.
They do get bigger if you feed them. So, certainly. I think that, yes, we are rebuilding the herds. I mean, we are seeing more cattle come back on to be it at the feeder level or into what we're trying to put in the feedlots. But, you just don't make that happen overnight. That's a long process. It's going to take a number of years to really grow back up. And, here again, too, if you look at last year, yes, we expanded hog production, we expanded pork production, but we still came back with higher price levels. And I think as long as we continue to expand the demand at a pace equivalent or better than what we're expanding the herds.
Right. It was almost a similar story the last 2 years in January.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. Hogs, you mentioned them a little bit. What's going on there? Off 35 on the week.
Yeah, off 35 on the week, but pretty insignificant about the rallies we've put in here recently. But I think the one big thing to keep in perspective on the hog markets, if you start looking at the Aprils, June, July, August, Octobers, any of them, where they have reached at this point in the rally, 83 to 87 cents, in the summer months, if you look back over the last 3 to 4 years, we have not taken those summer months any higher than that. So we're already at levels that have matched what has been the best trades or the best highs for the last 2 to 3 years. Probably a nice time to go ahead and take advantage of it. So here again, too, it's demand's going to be the name of the game.
Right. Did you have pork at Christmas, or did you have something else?
We did have pork.
Yes, yeah, so you're helping.
In fact, had it New Year's as well. So, yes.
But that chart, if you look at that chart, I mean, it's holding. I mean, this was a good 2 weeks of holding,
despite
the volatility that had been there the last 2 weeks.
One of the deceptive things when you look at the hog chart, though, is we come away from these lows. We just look at that spot market. We've come off that extreme, what looked like an extreme October low, into the December, now into the April. But, you would say, well, geez, we don't have any resistance until we get into the 85-cent range. Well, go to that June contract. We're at that 85-cent range. So all we have to do is stay where we are, and we're already up against major resistance.
This is a yes or no. Is the dollar done diving?
I believe no.
Oh, lower. Okay. Dan Huber, thank you so very much for your analysis. Good to have you here.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
That will do it for the broadcast portion of Market to Market. However, we will keep the conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, available in podcast and video form on our website. We know rural America is full of great moments and photos. We publish some of the best images we have taken and share them on our Instagram page. Give us a follow at IPTV Market and be sure to check out the frequently updated stories section. Might find some birds flying. That's what I heard this week. Join us again next week when we'll explore a lucrative export commodity rooted in the upper Midwest. So until then, thanks for watching. I am Paul Yeager. Have a great week.